Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's been 20 years since the U.S. opened its detention camp at Guantanamo Bay following the 9/11 attacks. The first group of shackled detainees arrived in Cuba from Afghanistan wearing orange jumpsuits and dark goggles. After years of reporting on torture and abuse, numerous human rights organizations called on the U.S. to close Guantanamo. And in 2016, former President Obama affirmed that he would do just that.
I don't want to pass this problem on to the next president, whoever it is. And if, as a nation, we don't deal with this now, when will we deal with it?
Now, President Biden has pledged the same, even as alleged mastermind of 9/11, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, is still detained there. Yesterday, a panel recommended the release of a man who has been held at Guantanamo since September 2006 without ever being charged. Joining us now via Skype is Carol Rosenberg. She's a reporter with the New York Times who's covered Guantanamo Bay since the beginning when she was with the Miami Herald. Hi, Carol.
Thank you for the invitation.
Let's start with this news about the first high-value prisoner of Guantanamo receiving word that he will be transferred. Who is Ghulid Hassan Duran, and how long has he been there?
He's a Somali man, a father of four, now adults, who actually at one point was a refugee in Sweden. He was brought to Guantanamo in 2006 as a suspected affiliate with an al-Qaeda organization, and he's never been charged with a crime. So whatever they thought he was, it didn't rise to even the level that prosecutors considered was chargeable as a war crime. He spent, I think, close to 2 years in a CIA black site, which is why the decision to let him go is so consequential. That doesn't mean he has a place to go. It doesn't mean he's leaving anytime soon, because Somalia is on the list of no-go countries that Congress says Guantanamo detainees cannot be returned to. And, you know, I saw him in court some years ago testifying on behalf of another detainee, and he is an impressive guy. His English is great, and he conveys a geniality that is surprising for a man who spent that many years in, you know, classified detention, first by the CIA and second by the Department of Defense. He's only been seen once in court. I saw him, and he wasn't even charged. It was in another man's case.
Carol, you've covered Guantanamo from the beginning. Since before the detainees arrived in those iconic orange jumpsuits, what is the legacy of Guantanamo 20 years in?
Well, I think it's twofold. First of all, you know, Guantanamo, especially since you mentioned that we're out of Afghanistan, Guantanamo is the first and probably only no-exit U.S. military enterprise since the Vietnam War. One could argue the entire war on terror is that no-exit U.S. military enterprise. But in Guantanamo, they picked up people from Afghanistan, moved them halfway around the globe, put them in, you know, event cages made of chain link fencing, and they're now in air-conditioned prison buildings that are modeled after U.S. prisons, but no administration has figured out how to close it down. The other thing about Guantanamo is, for all its secrecy, the court where they're trying to put the 9/11 defendants, the September 11th defendants, and a man accused of plotting the USS Cole bombing, where they're trying to bring them to trial, is the only real place where American lawyers are trying to bring some sort of accountability, some sort of transparency, where we learn about what happened in those CIA black sites all those years ago. The legacy of torture is being played out in that courtroom. And if you make the trek and you sit there and you take the time to listen, you can learn about post-traumatic stress disorder among prisoners who were waterboarded by the CIA. You can learn about continuing sleeplessness and mental, emotional damage by these prisoners. Everybody else has seemed to have moved on or doesn't know where they could learn about it. If you follow the hearings in the Guantanamo courtroom, you learn about the torture that the Americans carried out in the early days after the September 11th attacks.
Well, and Guantanamo was never intended to be permanent. And from the beginning, it had ambiguous legal status. It was outside U.S. law. So, of course, much of what happened there was in such question.
That's why the Bush administration chose it. They wanted a place that was out of reach of the U.S. people, out of reach of the U.S. courts, out of reach of U.S. justice. That's why I went down there. My editor said if they're going to make it out of reach of all those people, it shouldn't be out of reach of American journalism. It took a long time for these men to acquire certain rights. Congress began legislating restrictions on their ability to close the detention center down. In some ways, Guantanamo is Congress's favorite prison. They've been making day trips there and taking photographs with National Guard soldiers for years. Congress likes the messages that Gitmo sends. They don't like the efforts to close it down by moving detainees to the United States. Because I need to explain that when Barack Obama said he would close Guantanamo, the original idea was that you would charge some and put them on trial and let the others go. But in time, they realized they couldn't do it or they wouldn't do it. And so closing Guantanamo today means picking up people and moving them to the United States and creating for a small portion, essentially Guantanamo North. So it's 20 years later. They're still down there. But the way out of those cells for some of them is into other cells in the United States.
Mm. Picking people up and moving them north, Guantanamo North. I mean, is there any progress on that now? Where do we stand? It's been so difficult to close Guantanamo Bay. And as you said, President Obama talked about closing it. Where do we stand now?
Well, President Biden has said upon taking office that he has the same goal, but they just don't seem to have put the administration's mechanics, the bureaucracy in place to do any of that. There are 13 or 14 or 15 men for whom there are transfer approval, and they need to negotiate that through the State Department in agreements that provide security assurances that satisfy the Secretary of Defense. They just don't seem to have the infrastructure in place for those negotiations.
Carol, over the years, charges have been brought against 12 men at Guantanamo Bay and convictions against two. I'm curious, 20 years later, has Guantanamo been an effective tool for the U.S.? Has it done its job?
I think that depends on what you think Guantanamo was meant to be and what Guantanamo should be. And so if Guantanamo was partly a message to the world that if you mess with us, you end up in a cage at Guantanamo Bay, they may have succeeded in that. You know, other people argued that that messaging just helped al-Qaeda recruitment. It just enraged people. But in terms of getting that kind of justice for, let's say, September 11th, the kind of justice that Americans recognize, a trial, a sentence, and the story of what happened on 9/11, that hasn't happened yet. And the reason it hasn't happened yet is the five men who are there, who are on trial now, who are accused, who have been charged now for more than a decade, weren't brought to New York straight from their capture in Pakistan. They weren't picked up and moved to Guantanamo immediately for a military commission. They spent 3 and 4 years in the black sites of the CIA being interrogated by U.S. agents, and then were dropped off at Guantanamo in September 2006. And the courts are still trying to figure out how to manage, how to address what happened to them in those 3 and 4 years when they were disappeared.
What do you think would most surprise our listeners to learn about Guantanamo Bay?
Oh, that Guantanamo Bay isn't just one big prison. It's a base with 6,000 people. It has an elementary school and a seaport and an airport and bars and beaches and kids of sailors who brought their families there. And on the other end, one extreme end, behind a gate, there's the detention center that makes Guantanamo Bay infamous.
That's Carol Rosenberg, a reporter with The New York Times and formerly with the Miami Herald. Carol, thank you for your reflections 20 years later.
Oh, thank you so much.